If I could think of the perfect theme for Father's Day, it would have to be the man cave. Anybody got a man cave? A man cave. Somebody asked me, a lady asked me one time, a man cave, shouldn't I have a mom cave? No, it's called the rest of the house. Are you kidding me? You get the rest of it. We need a little corner somewhere. The man cave. To me, it's the pinnacle of mankind's accomplishments. A refuge from the hustle and bustle of everyday life, a place for man to call his own. And I was encouraged by the scriptures when I discovered that there are man caves in the Bible. The Bible says that David found refuge in the cave of Adullam. And it was there in his man cave that he assembled an army of misfits and trained them up to be a mighty troop. The Bible says that Elijah spent some time in the cave, and while he was in the man cave, he heard the still small voice of God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 that those who lived in caves conquered kingdoms. So today on Father's Day, I've got a man cave here that I'm going to use to help me preach this morning. I want to ask the guys if you'll come and help me build a man cave real quick. We got a man cave. Y'all thought this was just a wall, didn't you? We got a little surprise behind the wall. I feel like Bob Barker. What's behind wall number one? This is our little man cave this morning. Man cave in church. There it is. Look at that pretty paneling on that wall right there. That's a man cave, y'all. All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Come on, give them a hand this morning. They built our man cave in record time. So, we've got our man cave. Somebody asked me, Pastor Josh, did you kill that deer? Sure did. I preached him to death. After 48 hours, he just gave up. And this is actually a trophy that somebody gave me, a dear friend of mine gave me recently. So when I ran the New York Marathon, they gave me a trophy with my place on it. It says, 2017 New York Marathon, 42,167th place. You were so close. you almost made it. So we got our trophies. Got my dad poster up there. And this is very, very important. I'm enjoying church today, y'all. So I'm talking about you got to have your chair, but you need more. There's stuff that goes with your chair.
That's right.
Y'all to put no Pepsi in my face. It's got to be Coke, y'all. No Coke Pepsi? I don't think so. Got to have my drink. Got to have my Cheetos. Now you know why I wore an orange shirt today. I can just wipe it on there. Nobody hide the evidence. And then what every man has to have is a remote control. Let's see if anything's on. You want to see if anything's on today? Oh, yeah! Go, Heels, go! Get it! We might not be the biggest church in town, but y'all, we've got the biggest TV out of any of them. All right, I'm just going to... It's a man's church. We got a 350-inch screen. That's what I'm talking about. Well, today I want to use this as a little bit of a backdrop for what I want to teach on this morning. And I could go in a lot of directions. There's a lot of good sermon illustrations in all this. But today I want to focus on my trophies this morning, okay? So I've got got some brophies right here. I've got my running trophy. I've got my deer. And I got my trophy wife right there on my trophy wall. I got a trophy wife, y'all. I remember when we grew up in church together. We never really dated or even really talked to each other growing up in church. But we were neighbors. And boy, I tell you what, there was trucks coming in and out of their yard. All the boys were lining up trying to holler at AC. But she won't stunt any of them because she was right with Jesus. She knew. She said, y'all get on out here. Get on out here. I'm right waiting for the right. Well, that's Nash County right there. Get on out here. Nash County, they can't even say sausage. It's called chalchage. Get on out here. Give me a chalchage biscuit. That's where we grew up, in the sticks, y'all. Wayne County is just fine with me, I'll tell you. All right, but I want to talk about the trophies a little bit this morning. Trophies are important. We live in a world where trophies are disappearing. And listen, men, we don't want participation trophies. We want to win something. We want to fight for something. We want to earn something. We want to work for something. Don't give me no participation trophy. Participation trophies are awful. It embarrasses the losers and it devalues the winners. We want some real trophies, y'all. We love trophies because we love facing the opposition and we love winning. Trophies are good. And the Bible actually talks about trophies. This morning we read from the Bible about one of the most famous stories of the Old Testament, the story of David and Goliath. And David was a young man at the time. He was still living at home with his parents and his seven older brothers. Now let me tell you, any of y'all have older brothers? He had seven older brothers, and all of them were overachievers. That was a problem for David because they were all big, they were all strong, they were all talented, they were all good looking, and they were all soldiers. And when Israel went to war with the Philistines, David's older brothers went to battle, but little David had to stay home. His father wouldn't let him fight, but this is what he would let him do. He said, David, come and get this bread and this cheese and go take it to your brothers on the battlefield. Now, can you think about how David felt? His brothers were going off to war being the big heroes, and little David was stuck being the cheese boy. You know, maybe David was the first pizza delivery guy in history. I don't know. I mean, think about it. He had bread and he had cheese. We don't know. The cheese might have been on the bread. Papa David's. Here he is, cheese boy, taking food to the battlefield. Now, his brothers, they were tough on the outside. But when we look at little old cheese boy, when we look at David, we learn an important principle about facing problems in life, okay? And here's our first lesson this morning. If you're going to turn your trouble into trophies, number one, you've got to trust God. Amen. Come on, tell somebody, trust God. I'm going to tell somebody else, trust God. David's brothers were bigger and they were stronger, but there was something different about David. David might have been cheese boy, but David trusted God when everybody else was afraid. While everybody else was talking about how big Goliath was, David was talking about how great God is. Listen, we will all face problems in life. Every one of us will have challenges and we will have setbacks from time to time. But how we respond to those problems makes all the difference. You cannot control the problems that you face, but what you can control is your response to those problems. Are you going to focus on the problem? Are you going to talk about Goliath? Are you going to talk about how tall he is? Are you going to talk about how large his spear is and how big his shield is? Are you going to talk about how sharp his sword is and how strong his armor is? Or will you trust God? Are you going to focus on the problem or are you going to focus on your provider? That's a decision every one of us we have to make. And I'll be honest with you. My natural tendency is just like your natural tendency. People love negativity. I mean, you look at what makes the most money on the news. It's not happy stories. I heard somebody, a journalist say one time, they had a motto, if it bleeds, it leads. If it's tragic, if it's terrible, if it's painful, they put it on the front page because that's what people are drawn to. It's human nature. We're drawn to negativity. So we all have to decide, am I going to respond in my human nature or am I going to walk after the Spirit and am I going to have faith in God? David made the decision, I'm going to stand on the word of God. Yes. Everybody else was thinking about how big Goliath was, but David was thinking about the promise of God to Israel where he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. David said, if God has been there for me before, I know that he's with me right now. Yes. Everybody else was thinking about the giant. David made up his mind, I'm going to trust God. It wasn't David's strength. It wasn't David's ability. It wasn't David's weaponry. It wasn't David's talent that conquered the giant. It was David's faith in God. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For you, he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. David had enough faith in God to step out, to approach God, say, Lord, it looks bad in the natural, but I'm going to step out in faith and trust you. Faith is taking God at his word. Faith is giving more weight to the promise of God over your life than the problems of life in front of you. Think about this. Faith is the voice of God, but fear is the voice of the devil. So who are you going to listen to? I'm going to say that again so you can put that on Instagram. All right? Faith is the voice of God, but fear is the voice of the devil. So who are you listening to in your life today? Bible says whatever is not of faith is sin. Quit feeding into fear. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. Stop listening to the voice of the enemy speaking into your life and open up your heart and hear what God would say to you. Pastor, how do I grow in faith? I'll tell you how to grow in faith. Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you want to grow in faith, you need to dig into the word of God, and you need to hear what God has spoken over your life. The word of God will change your life. It is powerful. If you're going to turn your trouble into trophies, number one, trust God. Number two, use what you've got. This is so important. You've got to use what God has already given you. So smile at your neighbor and tell them, use what you've got. Now tell yourself, use what you've got. This is so important, y'all. Because if you think about it, in the natural, facing Goliath with a sling is kind of like bringing a knife to a gunfight. It wasn't smart. But that's what David did. And speaking of bringing knives, I want to ask our ushers. We got a little illustration I want to give all the dads. So all the fathers in the house, you guys stand up one more time. I forgot. I meant to do this earlier, but we'll go ahead and do it now. Because I want you to think about this message, okay? We're going to give every one of our dads in the house a knife today. Okay? And just before you get excited, it's not a sword, okay? It's a little knife. It's a little pocket knife. But I want you to put this on your key ring. Don't open it up in church. Don't cut it up in church. But take it with you. And I want you to think about this message. Every time you see one of these knives, every time you use this knife, all right? So take it with you. They're giving these out. This is important. This is my ongoing sermon illustration. I'm going to be in your pocket preaching to you when you take your keys out and you see this little knife. And this is why I want you guys to all have one of these. If you've already gotten a key, you can sit down. That's fine. If you haven't got one yet, just remain standing. They'll get it to you. What I want you to understand is that Goliath had a big weapon, and David had a little old sling. Okay? Goliath had a gun, and David had a pocket knife. And what I want you to grasp about this message is that God can do anything if you give him what you have.
Amen. Amen.
If you will use what you've got. David didn't have big weapons of war, but the key is that he used what he had. Yeah. How many people go through life saying, oh, I would do something if only I had this, or if only I had that. I'd pay my tithes if I won the lotto. Well, Shug, you ain't paying tithes now, you won't pay tithes then. I would do something if only I had this, or if only I had that. If only I had a better job, if only I had more money, if only I had better opportunities in life, if only I had a better family, or drove a nicer car, or lived in a better neighborhood. This is what I want you to hear this morning. It's not the things you don't have that are holding you back. It's the fact that you're doing nothing with the stuff you do have. If you're faithful with what you already have right now, God will bless it. So I want you to just take that knife as a reminder to be faithful with what you've got. Be faithful with what you have, because David had his little pocket knife, his little slingshot that he took to face the giant. And because he used what he had, God blessed it. And he provided. Use what you've got. Goliath had the latest technology. He had the advanced weapons, and David just had a little sling. Listen, God has a way of bringing us to the point where what we have is not enough to supply our needs. Have you noticed that? If you find yourself in a position where what you have is not enough, that may be a sign that God has allowed you to find yourself in that position, not so that you would go without, but so that you would learn how to depend on Him. The Word of God does not say that you shall supply all your needs. No, that says that my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. So God will allow you to reach that point for two reasons. Number one, to see if you're going to really trust Him. And number two, to see if you're going to be faithful in what you got. David didn't have much, but he used what he had and God blessed him. God is not looking for the best and the brightest. Hello, thank you, Jesus. God is not looking for the best and the brightest. God is just looking for somebody who will trust Him with what He's given them. David would eventually become the next king of Israel. In fact, he had already been anointed to be the next king of Israel. But in the meantime, David still had his job at the sheep shed. He still had his 9-to-5 minimum wage job. And the amazing thing is that even though David was destined for greatness, even though he was anointed for greatness, David was still faithful where he was. Amen. You've got to be faithful where you are. Amen. Don't tell me you're called to be a prophet to the nations if you can't show up to volunteer in the nursery on Sunday. Oh, I forgot, it's Father's Day. I got to be positive today. Happy, happy, happy. You're special. You're precious. You're sweet. You're kind. I love you. But seriously, you've got to be faithful where you are. David was destined for greatness, but he was still faithful in tending sheep. So I want to ask you, where does God have you right now? Because if you ever want more, if you ever want that breakthrough in your life, if you ever want to go to the next level, you must be faithful where you are right now. Be faithful where you are and God will promote you to greater things. Tell somebody again, be faithful where you are. Well, tell them, use what you've got. Okay, so you might just have a little bit, but what I've found is that a little bit is a whole lot in the hands of God. David faced the giant and God took the little that David had. He took that sling and God directed that stone by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It was a direct hit and the giant came tumbling down. Yes. David took Goliath's sword and he cut his head off. Yes. Heard an old preacher say one time, he cut his cotton picking head off. Cut his head off. And he put the head of Goliath on the gates of Jerusalem, but he did something interesting with the sword. Now, if it was me and I had Goliath's sword, I would at least take it home and put it up over the mantle in the fireplace. Or maybe I would have put it in the dining room right behind my chair and then invited all of my friends over for a dinner and just I keep looking over my shoulder. Yeah. Or maybe I would take Goliath's sword and I'd put it in the front yard so all the cars driving by could see, hey, look at that man, that's Goliath's sword. He killed Goliath. Look at that thing. But that's not what David did. You know what David did? He took that sword to the house of God. That leads me to point number three. If you're going to turn your troubles into trophies, number three, give God the glory. Give God the glory. Many people look to God when they're in distress, but it's something else to serve God in times of victory. Well, sometimes it's easy to humble yourself before God when you're in trouble, when you've got pressure, But it's something else to continue serving God once you've got that blessing. Mm-hmm. Think about the 10 lepers. 10 lepers, they were seeking after Jesus for healing, but when Jesus healed them, 9 of them didn't even say thank you. How many times do people seek God out of desperation, and when God answers their prayer, they disappear? FBI can't even find them. Oh, I've seen so many people. As a pastor, I've seen people pouring out their hearts to God on the altar when they got a diagnosis, and they pleaded with God for healing. But I've seen God people heal people of cancer. Yes. Yes. Cancer-free head to toe.
Hallelujah.
And then they slip right on out of church. I've seen it. I've seen God do miracles in people's lives. They were seeking God when they had a need, and God met that need. Then once they got what they wanted, bye. Well, I've seen people who needed a job, and they were at church every time the doors opened. Pray, church, pray. I need a job. God provides the job. They ain't working on Sundays. And they ain't worshiping either. Sitting at home. Most people seek God when they need something, but what do you do after God gives you what you need? That's what I want to know. Don't treat Jesus like a booty call. He's not an ATM machine. Oh, he wants to provide. Jesus is my provider, but guess what? He's Lord too. We're not in this thing for ourselves. Gimme, gimme, gimme. I want what I want, what I want, what I want. We can't do that and not say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. How about saying, God, what do you want? Happy Father's Day. Oh, I thank God for times of victory, but it's important that we get our breakthrough. But when we get our breakthrough, let's not forget about the one who gave us the victory in the first place. This is an important lesson for all of us. Dedicate your trophies to God. Take your successes and your achievements, your accomplishments, your trophies, your awards, your accolades, and give God the glory for what he's done in your life. That's what David did, and that's what we should do too. The truth is, if it wasn't for the grace of God, we wouldn't have anything in the first place. Listen, I want you to win. I want you to succeed. I want you to get your healing. I want you to get that promotion. I want you to get that provision. I want you to walk in the blessings and the favor of God. Conquer your enemies. Win those battles. Defeat the devil. But in the end, don't keep the glory for yourself. Give God the praise. Because he has made you able to win. You're going to see in just a minute how important it is to give your trophies to God. The Bible says in Psalm 115 verse 1, not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory. Because of your love and faithfulness. If you want to turn your troubles into trophies, number one, trust God. Number two, use what you've got. Number three, give God the glory. Number four, this is my last one. Never forget where God brought you from. Never forget where God brought you from. Don't forget. Trophies serve as constant reminders of the victories of yesterday. But trophies are not just about the past. Sometimes trophies will give you the strength that you need today. Let me give you a powerful example in the life of David. This is the power of bringing your trophies to God. This is the power of acknowledging God in all of your success. Years later, David was in trouble. He was in distress. David had a bad day at work because his boss tried to kill him. That's a bad day at work. You thought you had a bad day at work. David had a bad day at work. His boss threw a spear at him. sitting there worshiping Jesus, praising the Lord. And Saul was sitting there throwing weapons at him. David fled. He was running from Saul. His life was being threatened. He was being pursued. And David sought out the man of God. He found the high priest. 1 Samuel 21 verse 8. And David said to Ahimelech, "Is there not here on hand a spear or sword? For I brought neither my sword nor my weapons with me." So the priest said, "The sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah, there it is, wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you'll take that, take it, for there is no other except that one here." And David said, "There is none like it. Give it to me." David found himself in trouble. But because he took his trophies to the house of God, when he found himself in distress, that trophy was there waiting for him. When you give God the glory in your life, you are storing up weapons for future battles. I'm going to say that again now that everybody's awake. All right. When you give God the glory in your life, you're storing up weapons for future battles. Battles that you don't even know are coming, that you don't even know that you're going to face. But when you give your trophies to God, he says, "I've got weapons in my armory. I'm ready for the next fight." When you show off your trophies, when you tell your wife and you tell your children about what God has done in your life, when you acknowledge God and you give him the praise and you give him the credit of everything he's done through you, you're storing up weapons for future fights. The Bible says in Revelation 12:11 that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. When David found himself in trouble, God provided using the trophies of yesterday. His testimony became his weapon. I want to close with one final story this morning. Musicians can go ahead and come. One last story that shows us how powerful trophies can be when we give them to God. This story is found in 2 Kings chapter 11. This is many years after the death of David. So I want you to just follow me here a little. Okay, David slew Goliath when he was a young man. He's a little bit older. He took the sword of Goliath. He became king. He ruled for many, many years. He died of an old age. David is dead and gone. This is decades later. And a wicked woman named Athaliah was ruling over Judah. And when she came to the throne, she knew that God had promised to bless the descendants of David. So she knew that God's blessing was on the house of David. So what did she do? She wiped out the house of David. She had every one of the relatives of King David killed. But little did she know that there was one left. There was one descendant alive. A child by the name of Joash had been hidden away in the temple of God. He was hidden away in the house of God for 6 years. And when the godly men of Judah saw that the timing was right, they gathered together and said, "Let's overthrow Athaliah and let's put Joash on the throne." The problem was they didn't have any weapons. It's like when your lawnmower dies and you tell everybody it's broken, but it just ain't got no gas in it. Oh, they were excited. They had momentum. They had all the right people in the right place at the right time, but they did not have any weapons with which to fight. See, Athaliah controlled the royal armory. But they made an incredible discovery when they went to the house of the Lord. You see, generations before them, there was a man named David who every time he won a fight, who every time he won a battle, he would take the trophies to the house of God every victory. He would take the swords and he would take the shields of the armies that he conquered, and he would bring them to the house of God and give his trophies to the Lord. And when they went to the temple, they were amazed to see that there were swords and there were spears and there were shields everywhere. You see, when you acknowledge God in your life and you give God glory, your testimony will live, will outlive you. Because your story is not just for you. It's not just for this generation. It's for the next generation and the next generation and the next generation, for your children and your children's children. Bible says in 2 Kings 11:10 that when the priest gave the captain of hundreds the spears and the shields which had belonged to King David, that were in the temple of the Lord, they went to battle. They overthrew Athaliah. They established Joash as the rightful king. God delivered Joash and all of Judah from an evil queen, all because David dedicated his trophies to God. That's simply amazing to me. When you give God glory, when you share your testimony, when you talk about what God has done in your life, when you let your children know that God has been good to you, and every good thing in your life, every major accomplishment is because God's hand has been upon you. When you tell people that God has blessed you, when you acknowledge God and give your trophies to Him, your storing trophies in the house of God for generations to come. And if God has blessed you, don't you dare keep it to yourself. Share your story. Show off your trophies. Brag on Jesus. Tell everybody you can. Can we stand and just give God glory for a moment? Come on, just give Him praise right now. If God has blessed you, if He's been good to you, come on, lift up your voice and give Him glory this morning. God, all the glory belongs to you. All the honor belongs to you. All the praise belongs to you. In you we live and move and have our being. Lord, every good thing comes from you. And Lord, right now we just lift up our trophies before you. Lord, they belong to you. The glory is yours and yours alone. God, we acknowledge you this morning. We praise you. We worship you. And we thank you, God, for what you've done. We thank you, Lord, that our testimony is not just for us, but Lord, it has the power to set people free. Oh God, may we give you glory everywhere we go. May we lift up our trophies before you. Holy Spirit, as we stand in your presence today, I would ask that you take these truths and stir our hearts. God, I pray for strength for every person here, for every man, for every father, for every marriage, for every home. Lord, may we all bring our trophies to the house of God. May we acknowledge you and give you glory in everything we do. In Jesus' name. I want you to listen to what David said as we continue to pray for just a moment. This is something David wrote while he was still a little shepherd boy. Listen to what Cheese Boy wrote. He said in Psalm 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. In other words, many people trust in their own resources, but not me. I will trust in God. God took David from a little cheese boy, little shepherd boy, delivery guy. He took him and raised him up to be the greatest king of ancient Israel. And how did David get there? Not by trusting in himself, but by trusting in God. Listen, God can do anything in your life if you trust Him. I know that we live in a culture that gives everybody a trophy, and we live in a culture that teaches you, you got to believe in yourself, you got to believe in you. I'll tell you this morning, Jesus said, apart from me, you can't do nothing. Don't believe in yourself. Believe in Jesus. Believe in Jesus, and when you put your faith in him, you can believe on the Jesus in you. We have our limitations, but he can do anything. And if you're not trusting in Jesus this morning, make that decision today to trust your life to him. Let's pray for just a moment. God, I pray if there are people here this morning or listening online or watching on Facebook Live and they've not put their trust in you, God, I pray, Lord, that right now in this moment, God, as you're stirring their heart, Lord, that you would give them the faith and the boldness to trust their life to you. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross to save us from our sins. Lord, I thank you for raising Jesus from the dead as proof for all eternity that the price has been paid. Jesus, I thank you that you promised to be my closest friend that sits closer than a brother, that you promised you'll never leave me nor forsake me. And no matter what I go through, I thank you, Lord, that I can trust that you're always with me. And Lord, I pray, God, that every person listening to the sound of my voice today, God, would have the peace of mind that I have because I'm trusted in Jesus. God, give them the boldness and the courage today to put their faith in you. You may not have grown up in a Christian home. If you did, that's great. But here's the thing, is that God doesn't have any grandkids. You're not automatically saved because mama was a Christian and daddy was a Christian. You may go to church every Sunday. That's great. I think you ought to go to church every Sunday. But just going to church doesn't save you. I have put my head in a Bojangles box and that did not make me a biscuit. Walking in church on Sunday doesn't save you. There's only one thing that saves you. It's not your good deeds. It's not the wrong deeds. It's nothing you've done. There's one thing that saves you. That is putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to lead you in a simple prayer to help you start your journey of faith this morning. In support of those who are praying, and I want to ask everybody here, let's pray it out loud together today. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. And Jesus, with your help, I'll live for you. I'll trust you. I'll follow you. I'll tell others about you. And Lord, every good thing, I'll give you the trophy. I'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, you've made the greatest decision of your lifetime.